take your Bibles and find the book of Esther. Esther chapter number 9 would be our beginning place today. Esther chapter number 9. I want to preach a message entitled, A Complete Celebration. A Complete Celebration. It was Memorial Day, and I was looking through the Bible and the concordance and studying and looked up the word memorial. The word memorial is used many times in the Bible. The word means to record or to remember. If you were to take a concordance and look up the word remember, remembered, or remembrances, you would find that in the Word of God, God puts much emphasis on the responsibility to remember. I believe that God, in His infinite wisdom, knew that humanity would become forgetful. I think as a whole, humanity has become forgetful because we have become unthankful. Remembrance will always be tied to gratitude. You cannot separate gratitude from remembrance. Neither can you really sometimes separate forgetfulness from ungratitude. God knew that unthankfulness would be a position that the world would come to. Matter of fact, if you were to go to the book of Timothy and you would look at that third chapter of 2 Timothy, the Bible says that in the last days, the attitude of people would be that they would be ungrateful or they would be unthankful. When a man or a woman is unthankful, he does not remember much other than himself. If you remember when the nation of Israel made it into the promised land or was headed that way, God told them in the book of Deuteronomy, when you get into the land, I want you to remember me. A lot of things can help us or can lead toward forgetfulness. Unthankfulness would be one. Selfishness would be one. But also materialism and having things and kind of forgetting about our roots and the idea of self-making and the idea of just that, hey, I've accomplished this and I've made it here. By the way, just let me say this, and I know that you know this. I'm not sure that we always want to celebrate this. But all success that we have usually is due to others than just ourselves. Nobody in this room is a success because of who you are. We have others that help us and undergird and strengthen or give us wisdom or teach us things or are involved there. And God told the nation of Israel, when you get into the promised land, don't forget me. Don't forget me. And by the way, God does not want to be forgotten in your life. He wants to be remembered. I found in the Bible, I think, three specific areas that we celebrate today that could be what we would consider memorable or memorial. My prayer is that everybody in the room would be able to have a complete celebration. I find that there is a memorial or a celebration as a country. We're going to look at that in just a moment. I find that there is another memorial left to us by the Lord Jesus as a church. And then I find that there's a third memorial that is left as a Christian. So I think that we have the possibility to celebrate Memorial Day on a three-tiered system as a country, as a church, and as a Christian. I find in Esther chapter number 9, a memorial that the nation of Israel is doing as a country. They are celebrating as a nation national deliverance. I am not one of the preachers, nor is Plantation Baptist Church one of those churches that thinks that patriotism ought to be separated from the church. I do believe that the most patriotic people on the earth ought to be Christians. And there's nothing wrong with nationalism. There's nothing wrong with national pride. There's nothing wrong with patriotism. I'm proud to be an American. And I do believe that even though our country finds itself, I believe, distancing itself from the Lord, I do believe we were founded by God. We were founded on biblical principles. I believe that we are a nation blessed of God. I believe that, God had a specific purpose for our nation. And in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, in His grace, He allowed us to be birthed. He protected us in our infancy. He has protected us throughout the years as other nations have tried to destroy us. And I do believe that we stand free today because of the soldier, but we also stand free because of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know the story of Esther or not, but the nation of Israel is facing destruction. There's a man named Haman. Haman is an Agite. Haman should never have existed had the nation of Israel did what they were supposed to do. But they did. They fell short when they came into the land of Canaan. And Haman had an anti-Semitism that was satanic at its very root. Satan, by the way, has always hated and will continue to hate the nation of Israel. From the very beginning of Abraham, Satan has tried to destroy the nation of Israel. He's tried to destroy even all the way back to Moses. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis where there was the promised Messiah that would come to the nation of Israel. And Satan knew that Jesus would be born a man. He knew he would be a Jew. He knew he would be of the tribe of Judah. He understood that. And so on the earth, the prince and power of the earth tried to annihilate the nation of Israel. He tried to destroy all the newborn babies. He tried to destroy them with other nations. But God had promised that through the nation of Israel, through Abraham, that the Son of God would be born. And by the way, God always keeps His promises. And I don't care how strong the devil thinks he is. I don't care how strong anybody thinks they are. You cannot thwart the Word of God. It is forever settled and it shall not return void. So Satan has tried to destroy. One of the most intense battles he had was with Haman in the days of Ahasuerus in the nation of Israel. And in the satanic hatred of the Jewish people, Haman wanted to destroy them. And he moved against the king in a trickery and deceitful way. And he built these big gallows where he was going to hang the Jews and he was going to destroy them. But God was providential and sovereign, and God had a promise, and God was going to continue to keep that. And so the Lord was moving in protection-wise there. And in Esther chapter 9, we're told the story, verse number 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. So they're setting up a memorial day. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. They're having a feast. They're having a picnic. They're getting together with family. They're feasting. They're joyful. They're giving gifts. And the Jews, verse 23, undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, this is the kind of a highlight of the story, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. They ended up hanging Haman on his own gallows. Wherefore, they called these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, those would be immigrants, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the, say it class, memorial of them perish from their seed. So we go back to the nation of Israel and we find them setting up a memorial day for national deliverance. And it was a day that they were reckoning what God had done, but it was also a day of reckoning as a country, their deliverance. And I do believe today that you and I, as believers, you and I, as those that have been saved as the church, we ought to celebrate Memorial Day. Do not say that it is unbiblical to celebrate Memorial Day. Do not think that you need to separate patriotism from Christianity. The greatest patriots there should be Christian people. Every home ought to celebrate Memorial Day. The Bible said that they were celebrating this, if you look at verse number 28, even that the memorial would not perish from their seed. Listen, we need to teach our children that the freedom they are enjoying in America today did not just happen, it was paid for by the blood of our citizens. It was paid for by the blood of our fathers. It was paid for by the blood of our mothers and our sisters. It was a high price for our freedom. And the Jews said, everybody's going to celebrate it. And I think every American ought to celebrate Memorial Day. Let me say this, and I'm going to say it kind because I know I can get in trouble. So I'm going to say it kind, but I'm going to say it strong. Every immigrant should celebrate Memorial Day. You weren't born in this country and you immigrated to this country. You owe our founding fathers and those soldiers in those videos as much gratitude as anybody born in this. For you live every day and sleep every night under the freedom that was purchased with American blood. I get a little bit sick to my stomach when I see people come into our country. And I'll get the people born in our country, but let me get the people coming into our country. They come into our country and they want our citizenship and they want our blessing and they want our freedom and they want our opportunity, but they refrain from loving our great land. And it aggravates me a little bit when they come in and they wave their home flag. You can have all the valor and all the love and all the respect of your home flag, but you left your home to fall under our flag and it should be celebrated too. Amen. Now, let me say this to those of us that have born in this country. Makes me sick when somebody born under the flag of the United States of America who lives in this country celebrates freedom and has the audacity to think that our country in some way is evil or wicked or unfair or unjust. You want to talk about unfair and unjust? Do your history homework. The reason Pastor Jay can go into our public schools and ask our public schools kids, do we not live in the greatest country on the earth? And a resounding unified no come from our own schools is because we're not teaching them history. You want to talk about evil? Let's talk about Nazism. Let's talk about communism. Let's talk about socialism. Let's talk about the evils of the world. When all of the world was being held captive, it was the USA that came to the rescue. It was our boys and our girls that went in those planes and those ships. My grandfather left his arm on that beach, shot in the back of the head, shot in the back, his arm blown off, left on a barbed wire fence, and crawled one arm to a medic. So we have our own homeborn kids that think that in some way our country is not the greatest country on earth. Well, why don't you travel abroad? Why don't you go to the countries that did not humble themselves under the hand of Almighty God? Why don't you go to the countries that want to say Allah is God? Why don't you go to the countries that want to say there is no God? Why don't you go to the countries that come against what the Bible teaches in capitalism and all that and come under communism? You see how much freedom and joy they have. We have and live in the greatest country on earth. And you better celebrate Memorial Day. You better teach your children. There's another part of memorial that I find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that I think adds to the trifecta of a complete celebration. Go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Very familiar memorial. This is one given to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in memorial or remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in memorial or remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the, say those two words, class, Lord's death till he come. It's Memorial Day, and on a national level, we are remembering the death of our soldiers. But there is another memorial that ought to be remembered, not as a countryman, but as a church member. A country celebrates national deliverance, but as the church of Jesus Christ, as the body of our Savior, we celebrate a soul deliverance. For the soldier can maybe bring to me a physical freedom, but Jesus brings to me a spiritual freedom. And as beautiful as that flag is, and as respect that it deserves, and the inspiration that it brings forth, and the awesomeness of watching her, and you never get tired of taking your eyes off her, as beautiful as she is, you notice we do not have her exalted above the cross, because I was bound in horrible prison. I was in a captive worse than communism or Nazism. I was in captivity to my own sin, and there was not a soldier on the earth that could win the battle over my sin. There was not a man that could fire a bullet that could cleanse me from my sin. So God became man. Christ went to the cross and shed his blood as a soldier, laying down his life, and he paid my ransom. And that flag is beautiful, but I look at that cross and it has a wondrous attraction and a great beauty, for there I was set free. And it ought to be memorialized. Jesus said, this bread is my body, which was broken for you. This cup is my blood, which was shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He's talking to the church. And the church is to remember the death of Christ. Why? Because had Christ not died, you would never know salvation. Listen, if you're in this room and you've never been saved, you need to understand that the way of salvation has been made free to you. It has been made available to you. It comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's our job as a church to remember and to show that. But you want to celebrate true freedom. We celebrate it as a nation, but oh, blessed be the name of God. We celebrate it as a church. Find, if you would, in Joshua chapter number 4. I want to show you the third one and we'll be done. Done, Pastor? Already? Don't get your hopes up. Joshua chapter number 4. This is a chapter that speaks about when the nation of Israel was crossing over Jordan. They were going into the promised land. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 1. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua. That's important that you remember that the Lord is speaking here. The Lord tells Joshua in verse number 2, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place. That would be Gilgal, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a what class? Memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse number 8 says that the children of Israel did what they were supposed to do. They made the memorial. Look at verse number 9. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. That's interesting. In the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And oh yeah, they are there unto this day. So the nation of Israel is getting ready to cross over Jordan, and they're going into the promised land. Now, let me tell you something about the promised land. Most Christians have a misunderstanding. The promised land's not heaven. The promised land does not fully just represent heaven. It has heavenly characteristics to it, but it's not heaven. And they're getting ready to go over into that. And God says now, oh yeah, by the way, Joshua, when you boys cross that thing, get you 12 guys and get you some stones. And when you come up out of that river, wherever you lodge that night, I want you to lay them stones out. And I want you to build a memorial with those stones. And the children of Israel did. And Joshua got them and they built that memorial. But then Joshua did something. Joshua went and took 12 stones. And when the priest in chapter 3, when the priest went into the water, that's when that water began to split. And the priest stood there and Joshua took 12 stones and he put them down where the priest's feet were. And then when the priest came out of the water and the waters came back, they covered those 12 stones. So you got 12 stones under the water and you got 12 stones over here on the land where they come up out of the Jordan. Both piles of stones are a memorial. And there's spiritual meaning to this. When the nation of Israel is crossing over Jordan, that crossing that Jordan River is really symbolic of them crossing over death. It's the death of the old nature. They are moving out of that bondage and Levitical system per se of the law, and they're supposed to be moving in to the Canaan land, which pictures the spirit-filled life. Remember, the law was only given to the nation of Israel. It was never given to them so that they could earn salvation. And the law was never to go into the land of Canaan. Matter of fact, the lawgiver wasn't allowed to go into Canaan. You remember, he died. His name was Moses. So God didn't even let Moses go into the land of Canaan. God let him look it and see it, and he understood where they were going. But God buried him somewhere that they didn't even know, and he died. But Joshua put these stones there underneath that water, and it was a testimony of God bringing them out of that old nature, out of that death, into the newness of life. And Canaan really speaks of the spirit-filled life. And God said, I want a memorial set up in the spirit-filled life. And he said, I want that memorial to do three things. If you were to go to the passage, and for time's sake, I'll just give them to you. He said, I want this memorial to be of the purposes of God. When your children ask you, what are these stones? I want you to tell them that this is how God brought us out. I want you to tell them that this was God's purpose for us. And I want you to use these memorials to teach your children the purposes of God. I want you, number two, to teach them the preeminence of God. You see, they were just normal stones. They weren't hewn or crafted by man's hands that they could not become an idol. It's funny how a man loves to take something that he makes and call it God. Let me tell you something. If you can make it, it's not God. So God said, now, just take your 12 stones. I don't want you to hew them. I don't want you to make them into some little figurine. Don't shape them like Buddha. Just make them. Just take them and set them down there. And when you see these stones that I made, you didn't make, that I made, I want you to remember that I am the Lord thy God. I am the only God. There is none God, no other God but me, none beside me. I am Jehovah God, preeminent, sovereign, mighty in your life. And I want you to remember that. Matter of fact, when the nation of Israel was going into the Canaan land, they were supposed to teach that world that outside that they didn't have to conquer right there. They were supposed to show them what a mighty God that Jehovah was through their lives. But they didn't do that. And so the memorial showed the purpose of God. It showed the preeminence of God. But it also was to show the power of God and how that God had rolled back the water and let them walk before the Ark of the Covenant on dry ground. And so the memorial in the spirit-filled life or in Canaan was to testify of the purposes of God, the preeminence of God, and the power of God. If you're with me, say amen. But you come to the new covenant and you come into the New Testament And where you had stones that in the Old Testament that were a memorial, we don't have cold, dead, lifeless stones that are a memorial today. Go, if you would, to Mark chapter 14 and look at verse number 9. Mark chapter 14, and I want to read you a little bit of a illustration here. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 3, Mark 14, 3, and then we're going to hit one more place. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good, what's that word, class? Work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. That's why you should never, ever, ever help any organization that says they're going to eliminate poverty. Any organization that says they're going to eliminate poverty, no Christian wants to be around or support. You can help all the organizations you want to that help the poor. But the mindset that says we're going to eliminate the poor goes directly against God's word. Amen. Jesus said you'll always have the poor. So, what's that guy's name that sings for that U2 group? Bono. When those guys in Hollywood says, we're going to eliminate the poor. Send us your money. You do better to give your money to the church and let us go down there and take the gospel to the poor. Amen. Yeah. So Jesus said, you always have the poor. That's extra. You don't have to pay me for that this week. I'm okay for that one. Pick up, if you would, at verse number 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a what class? Memorial. Memorial for her. So Jesus tells Joshua, set up stones for a memorial. But in the New Testament, the Lord doesn't want you to go out and pile your yard full of stones for a memorial to the Spirit-filled life. Your works are a memorial to the Spirit-filled life. Now, let's be real careful about something. Can a man do enough good works to have saving faith? And the answer to that is what? No. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation doesn't come through works. Salvation is by faith. But once I have saving faith, once I have been born again by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God lives in my heart, that saving faith then begins to produce works of faith. Not works for faith, works of faith. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So watch this, church. A complete celebration for Memorial Day does involve celebration as a country, national deliverance. You need to be part of that. A complete celebration for memorial ought to include, as the church, a remembrance of the person of Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And that is a memorial that needs to be honored by you. But there's also a memorial that you as a believer, you as a Christian, you as an individual ought to have in your life. And that evidence of that newness of life, that spirit-filled life, that evidence that Jesus Christ lives in you is seen by the change in your behavior and by the works that you do for God's glory. So think about this. Now, Joshua, when your kids ask you what this pile of rocks is for, I want you to tell them it's for purposes of God, the preeminence of God, and the power of God. The same way that will be a memorial unto your seed. The same way, Christian, your life and your deeds and your works that come from a heart of faith ought to be a shining testimony so people can see in you the purpose of God. They can see in you the preeminence of Jesus Christ. They can see in your life the power of God. And as God works in and through me, my life becomes a memorial to the living Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what our lives ought to be. Philippians chapter 1, if you would go there, we'll end here. Philippians chapter 1. This was Paul's desire. I think this is a great desire. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. Paul says, I have an expectation for my life and I have a hope for my life. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's talking about being ashamed before the Lord. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be, what's that word, class? Magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, I want my life to be a memorial for Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you a question today. Is your life a memorial for Jesus Christ? Do your children see in you the purpose of God, the preeminence of Christ, the power of God? What is your testimony at work? Is Christ being magnified? I mean, this is a day that we magnify the sacrifice of those men and women that gave their lives for our freedom. But let me tell you something. National freedom doesn't hold a candle to spiritual freedom. And we can take 1 or 2 days a year and celebrate national freedom and praise God for it. But spiritual freedom is worthy of being celebrated every day of our lives. Amen. And your life, and your words, and your deeds ought to be a memorial for what Jesus Christ has done. Listen, a guy made a statement, and it's so powerful to me, I never forgot it. He said, somebody explain to me how our churches can be as large as they have ever been and our world be as dark as it has ever been. Man, that hammered me when that preacher said that. He said, you preacher boys, answer me a question. You're going to go and you're going to grow large churches. He said, explain to me how we live in a day when our churches are so large and our world is so dark. I'll tell you what, I want Christ to be magnified by Plantation Baptist Church. We're not after numbers, we're after souls. I don't know about this community, all the churches, they got to stand before the Lord. But for this church, whether it be by life or by death, let Christ be magnified and let our lives be a memorial. By the way, every mom and dad, You ought to read that Bible, and God puts tremendous responsibility on your life to teach your children. And your children need to be looking at your life, and the question should be, what is your life all about? And that life needs to be a memorial about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a country, national deliverance. As a church, soul deliverance. As a Christian, spiritual deliverance. It's a complete celebration. It's because of the soldiers of our country, but it's also because of the Son of God. I'm proud to be an American, but I am blessed beyond measure to be a Christian. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Let's celebrate Memorial Day the way it ought to be. Shall we pray?